Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Well Said Podcast. I am here with Mick. Mick Wild.
Wah, 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 wah.
Everyone's like, hell yeah. Oh my God, we've been waiting for this.
Finally,
shit.
Finally, we had her on. Like, everyone has been clamoring to have me on. Zero comments. God.
Literally, no, there's people out there that are like, holy shit, we're here. But we're going to talk about social media, the relationship people have with social media, our own relationships with social media, negatives about it, positives about it, and like the real life truth about trying to unplug, because it's not as simple as it seems. And social media is such a complex thing. Whoa, what word was that? But Mick is in it every single day. I'm in it every single day. Mick actually is behind the scenes, which I'll talk to you about with Well Said, because I needed to take some off my plate or I was literally not going to move forward whatsoever. So Mick is in the Well Said world. She's literally like dabbling around in it. We met through a mutual friend like how many years ago?
A while now. 4? It would have been 2020.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh my God. That's kind of sweet. That's kind of, wait, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little too high.
We've known each other for 4 years.
And then that mutual friend and her had to be at the same party, which is, I apologize about that.
We're going to have to be at a few of the same parties in the upcoming
seasons.
Events. That's fine, though.
Seasons of life, which is totally okay.
Like, we are mature. Like, it's totally fine.
It's fine. You guys are fine. You're fine. We're living. Yeah. But no, Mick helps me so much with social media. And honestly, some of the things that we've talked about, I realize that a ton of people have struggled with and they currently struggle with, and things that I'm like, oh my God, if I had just known that about social media, I think I wouldn't have taken shit so seriously and not like been in my own swirl that I go into, which I'll tell you about. But we just want to talk about that. And then talking about the self-reflection of your own relationship with social media, because I think a lot of us struggle with that and we're doom scrolling. We're not paying any attention to what's going on in our lives because we're maybe hiding from something we're feeling, or maybe we feel unfulfilled in an area of life that we don't want to address. Like, it's become almost like our numbness in life. And then how the F do we not do that? Like, how do we have a better relationship with social media? How do we like get out of that hole? And we've thought about this. We thought about this episode for hours today.
We have really put it like it. And I fear it's like we have spent so much time thinking. We've reworked this episode 1700 times. Yep. And I don't even know if we're there yet.
And honestly, we're just going to land the plane as we're or what do they say? Fly the plane while you're building it. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. But actually, we had a fun freaking morning because we had our Well Said event. Yeah. It was so much fun.
The little Well Said walk. Yeah.
Honestly, that felt good. And I'll talk about why, but that felt freaking good to see people in real life at the event that like was kind of last minute and just like thrown together.
Yeah. And in today's world, like there are so few opportunities to like really connect with people IRL.
Yeah.
So it was very fun.
It was really, I'm like tickled. But then after that, we had to come back and like go to isolation mode. We were both like, so when we're heading back after.
She goes, do you want to go to a coffee shop? Because we were doing this after we had to like plan the episode. I was like,
shakes her head.
We need
sensory
deprivation tank right now for the next 3 hours.
I need iPad kid time.
And what did we do?
We literally did. Okay. All right. You want to say? You want to go there? All right. We watched.
Why did we do that?
We were going to watch the first 20 minutes of it, air quote. I'm like literally doing air quotes because I'm like, yeah, fucking right. We watched a J-Lo documentary. All right. There, I said it. Yeah. Okay.
And we watched the movie that the J-Lo documentary is about. And it's insane.
I have no words about that movie. It was bizarre. I'm sorry, it was. I'm like I said, there's real world movies and CGI movies. And I am a real world movie. And
but why
that
did we watch
was
the whole
a
thing?
Both.
Why did we watch the whole thing?
I don't know. And then it kind of abruptly ended. I'm like, oh, it's over. What? Oh.
J-Lo is living in the level of delusion that I aspire to live in every day.
Mm-hmm.
I love that about
it. It wasn't surprising. I was like, oh.
No. I was like,
that's
yep.
where I thought you J-Lo, probably were living.
Yeah. I mean,
but that's okay. I mean, it's fine. She's living her life. She's got cash for days and whatever.
And we just spent our Saturday afternoon watching both her documentary and the movie. So
and
she got our asses.
She while we're watching this, we're Googling like, oh my God, how many kids does she have? Oh yeah. Okay. Wait, how many, like,
who was her first husband?
How long would they, oh my God, a year. Wow. Okay. Like literally the whole movie. Like how much did Amazon buy the movie for? She, wait, didn't she fund? I'm like, what
we're
am
invested.
I am the reason J-Lo made money today.
And not to mention, we also were looking up her songs. Yes. We played the first, her most recent song. We're like, wait, this is kind of a banger. We're like J-Lo fans now.
I'm
like,
a super fan. I don't know.
We're literally J-Lo super fans.
I went in thinking like, okay, this is going to be hilarious because I've seen all the TikToks of her. Yeah. And I came out kind of being like, man, all right.
You know what?
Listen,
I respect her.
Respect.
She's
R-E-S-P-C-T.
She's got a point.
Oh my God. Speaking of social media, holy shit. I was on TikTok. I can't, whatever. I went way too deep. Point being, we had an amazing morning. It was so much fun. I love seeing real life people like communicating and community and like meeting each other because that's what life is really about. That's why I want to use my social media for those things, for people here too. And if you're listening and you're not from Minnesota and you don't get to be at these events, I'm sorry. I apologize. It sucks. I wish I could fly you out. Okay. I don't have that money and I don't got a plane, so we can't do that, but you can be in our community online, which I love too. But we're here to talk about social media and my relationship with social media. And the reason I'm starting is because Mick came into my picture of social media was, I think I, you know, like you have social media as you're growing up. I'm not going to go way back when, but it's like, okay, yeah, high school, all these social media platforms come around, fast forward, it's COVID. And, you know, I start up this little thing called a podcast that with a partner and we start creating content. The hard part now flashing forward to being well set alone, because I think all of those things are great, but I'm talking about how I feel with it now. I created a platform off of words that I wasn't proud of and things I didn't really believe in. And that's a little weird. And what I struggle with currently is I feel like I'm watching, like my struggle right now is I watch people unfollow me because it's an old community that doesn't resonate with the new content of like wellness. Like they're here for probably like the hilarity, the inappropriate, the funny. Some of the content was funny. I'm not saying everything was bad. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. But they're not here for what I am now. Mm-hmm. And that kind of hurts your ego, even as you want to pretend it doesn't. You want to pretend like, no, like it's okay that I'm losing followers. It doesn't matter to me. Like
it hurts.
It hurts. It sucks.
Yeah.
But what Mick has helped me realize, and I'll talk about all this, is like, I also see the numbers coming in of new people that this resonates with. And I never wanted to be a big social media star anyway. So like, if I have a good community that's a little bit smaller maybe, or maybe it grows later, I shouldn't really even care. Like I'm excited about that. You know what I mean? Like there are people here. And I told you this right before this podcast started. I was like, I think all these things and I think no one's listening. I'm like, I think my problem is I don't feel like I create value. And then we have the event, like spur of the moment event, 60 something people show up, literally a hit. Yeah. And people were meeting each other and it was a community and I didn't know everybody, not even close. And I was like, holy shit, there are people that care and are listening and want.
And are invested.
Yeah, want to be engaged. A part of this community, I mean, and engagement. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
it's like a slap in the face of what reality is. And it just shows how social media can suck you in and you can obsess at like every little turning point and corner. And I struggle with that. And Mick has had to help me with that.
Yeah. When I came in and started working with Sid, she was really having a hard time with losing followers. And I think a lot of people struggle with that, but not even just that, is like resonating with people. And like, again, what happened with your podcast is you made a pretty substantial change in the direction of the content, meaning like it's really natural and expected that a lot of people were going to like maybe not resonate with that as much. And like that initial unfollow hurts. And like, I'm team, I don't check. I mean, like, I see the number, but
that's
like,
the problem. Is like,
I am not checking who unfollows me. I will get my feelings hurt and I will be upset and mad about it. At the end of the day, follow me, don't follow me, whatever. But to your point, like, when you were experiencing that, it was, you know, it was hurting your ego. It was hurting, it was like shaking your confidence because you didn't, you felt like you weren't doing the right thing. But like, if you are creating content that you believe in, if you're putting out content that you believe in, then you're doing the right thing and the right people will follow. There's like a whole other like back thing of like algorithms and things that are going on in the background. But like, if you are doing that and you believe in it and you feel passionate about it and you feel good about it, everything else follows. And it's like, it might take a while for that to like resonate with the right audience. And like, you are definitely moving in the right direction, but it takes time. And like, it's hard to sort of take the, like the personal, like, not feeling personal about the unfollows because it fucking sucks.
But then you sit there and you're like, why do I care? But it's, and I'm like, I remember way back in the day when I used to have the unfollow app and you could see who literally clicked on your profile and went to unfollow you. And I bet you money, everybody in their minds right now are like, oh my God, I fucking had that app.
People still do it.
That killed me. I deleted that shit because I'm like, oh my God, you like from high school? Like, I thought we were cool.
Yeah.
And you, I'm annoying you that bad.
Literally.
Or you don't like me that much that you don't even want me to like have you like see my, or you don't even want to see my content.
You didn't even want to mute me. Like, can I be put on like a PIP? Can I be put on a like a probation period where you mute me for a little bit, see if I've changed, see if I've gotten better?
I know, like, but like, am I that annoying?
Give me a chance. I've also like, I think it's a good example of like, everyone has a different relationship with social media. 100%. And like, truly, some people are like, I don't care about this person. I don't care about their life. We all feel that way about some people. Like, sorry, this random person I went to elementary school with 18 fucking years ago. I don't really give a shit what you're doing anymore. And like, while I personally wouldn't unfollow, like, I just like, I have, you know what? Actually, I am better. I am not unfollowing people that I like went to school with. Like, you know what?
Oh,
you're
no,
you're grandfathered in for life. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
you're here.
All right, you're married, you have kids, cool. Like, I'm following along the journey. It is like hurtful when you see the unfollows. I recently did this after have not done this. Like, I swear to God, I have not done this probably since early college or maybe even high school because it would hurt my feelings that bad.
You recently,
I'm
did
also
it?
Really annoying online. So
okay.
That should be mentioned.
No,
as well.
You are not annoying though, but you are creating. You're a creator.
Am I a creator?
No, you actually are though.
No,
you're smart. You create shit.
I know,
it's called
like,
a fucking creator though. But
I am excessively online and post much more than the average person. And like, some people I recognize,
she's a content genius,
don't want to follow that. And like, it, so I recently did it and like, I was like, I went to college with you. I like, I met you one time in the bar bathroom. How dare you unfollow me?
I can't believe you did that by name. Like, my ego would be like burned into like my soul. Like, even when you find somebody, like, you're like, oh, I wonder if they follow me. And you're like, oh, when did I cross you? When did I interrupt your life?
Like, have you had this happen where you post something and you lose followers every time you post something?
Yes. I used to get it when I would post my boyfriend. Yeah. Well, Jordan, I'm peace signing. Oops. You guys. Oopsies.
Yeah.
But
yep, that's classic.
Honestly, now I get more likes when I post Jordan. I'm like, what? Okay.
But you have an invested following that is like invested in your relationship. And that's, see, this is also one of the things. There's like short game and long game with social media. The short game is like, you can grow a really big following really rapidly by doing a set factor of things, but you're not going to have an invested audience that actually cares about who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. When you see unfollows, like when you post your boyfriend, like those are people who aren't actually invested in like who you are as a person.
They shouldn't be following in the first place. And it's sad because I always prided myself on like, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. And the fact of the matter is, I'm going to admit to you so that we can all admit together, because we want to be telling the truth, that we care about our following. I am sorry. But for me, it's because I want to be authentic and I want to create a community. And I want, and I also, like, transparently, I do have to monetize somehow. Like, it's in order to keep hustling,
in order I do to keep the lights on
money.
Around here.
No, seriously. Like, if you want, oh, shit, the light went out. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Mick, look, she's like, where? Like, no, wait. No. But like, I do have to monetize. Yeah. So I actually do have to care, but it's not the caring in a vain way. Like, yeah. But then it's like, well, isn't all of it carrying in a vain way? I don't know. Yeah. In point you being, it's a battle out here with social media and it sucks.
Yeah. It's like it's mental warfare.
How did you start creating so much content that like you didn't give a shit about what people think? Cause that's what I don't struggle about what people think. I struggle with I don't think I'm interesting.
I think you're very interesting first and
Thank
foremost.
Thank you. Love you.
And I started, so I was like a heavy Twitter user and I kind of like, so I just happened to have a knack for like writing like short little funny quips.
You're witty.
You
know how it is. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, so I was very active on Twitter like right away. Like I was using that and I immediately got like the validation from like being good at that. And like I wasn't like big time or anything, but like better than most. I won best Twitter in high school.
Wait, did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It actually might have been always tweeting, but I infer that.
Well, it's best Twitter. Sorry. Best Twitter. It's about the same award. So thank you guys for voting.
But I self-declare myself as having the best Twitter. Anywho, so I was very active on Twitter, very involved. And like when you're involved in an online community that's like not your immediate network of like people you know in real life, mm-hmm. your horizons broaden a bit. But even so, I mean, like I was just a very active Twitter user for a really long time. And then like I wasn't using Instagram really. I wasn't. I ended up getting TikTok a lot earlier than most people. Mm-hmm. I started on it like early 2019.
Oh, wow.
And I started because I had heard, I used to be like really, really bored. I would work and my boyfriend at the time, he worked super late. So we were never like with each other. Mm-hmm. So I would just spend like after work hours by myself and I was just bored and I downloaded TikTok because I heard it was like cringe and I was just like, I don't even know what possessed me to do it. But TikTok is like literally made to be addicting. So obviously I became addicted right away and started that journey a lot earlier than most, meaning like I had a skill set that most people didn't have very early on and I mean still don't have, but I started way earlier. And so yeah. I was like ahead of the game. But even so, like I was not doing that professionally. I was in politics. And then randomly I got a DM on Twitter being like, I love your social media presence. I think that you could like do a really good job running this for my company. Like, can I interview you? Can we like hire you? And that started my journey in doing this professionally, which is way different than doing it like personally, which has been a very interesting
flip in your career. I mean, well, it's a complete change.
Yeah. And just see understanding how social media works broadly, like not just for your own like specific use case, but like for businesses, for like personal use, for like all of these things. It's like truly not a one size fits all approach. Like it's mm-hmm. very like depending on what your needs are, like this is how you should use social media to meet those needs.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So it's been,
I feel like it's become more logic based to you then, because it's logical. Like everything has a reason. And A, output makes a B like a solution. And you're like, oh, if I do this, this is what happens. This is how you quote unquote get what you need or want.
Yeah.
Versus it just like throwing content out in the like wall and seeing if it sticks and that's it.
The sort of strategy side to it is what I like really got good at mm-hmm. identifying is like, it's not like you're just like putting out content and like there's no rhyme or reason to like how that's being received. It's like there's an algorithm that's manipulating all of this and is showing your video to people. So how do you like basically use that algorithm to your favor instead of to your detriment? And like we've talked about this a lot too, mm-hmm. where people get really devastated when they put all of this work into a piece of content and they're so excited about it and they're so confident this is going viral. They post it and it gets 5 likes and they're like, obviously,
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, holy I'm embarrassed. Shit. I'm disheartened. I don't want to do this. People don't like me. The thing about when you're posting on like an algorithm-based social media platform, you are working against this algorithm, mm-hmm. meaning like everything, like I say, like everything that you post, you are feeding to the algorithm so that it understands better who to feed that content to. Meaning if you're posting like one day your like meal, and then the next day you're posting your random like work drama, it has a hard time understanding, based on those two pieces of content, who your target audience is. So it's like, it's really about repetition. And like, we also talk about this all the time. I talk about this to literally anyone that I talk to about doing social media.
Yep.
Consistency. Mm-hmm. You just got to do it over and over and over again. You'll get better at doing it. It'll come easier.
You get an eyeball into our meetings right now. Because she's like, so Jesus,
every single meeting,
Criminy, yeah. Sydney, you just have to be consistent, but it is hard. But the reason I wanted to talk about this is because this is relatable to everybody. And what Mick has said to you, if you didn't catch this, is your 3 likes on your video were not because it was a flop. Like maybe it wasn't the best quality, whatever, who cares? Or your post that you put out that's like you and your friends at your birthday dinner.
Yeah.
Like your picture, right?
Yeah.
I don't care what people say when they say they don't care about likes. If you're hiding your likes, you probably care about likes.
Yeah,
and if you're for sure. keeping them on, you probably maybe don't care, but you like it when you have like a 500 versus a 300, like let's be real, or 500 versus a 94. Like,
it's validation. It's validation.
It's validation. We grew up in the world of social media. It is what it is. I'm sorry, just say it for what it actually is. Do I think it's a positive? No, absolutely not. But do I think it's the truth? Yes. What I'm saying is, you do not need to feel less than. You do not need to feel bothered. You don't need to feel embarrassed or disheartened or unseen when you get less likes on a photo that you put out, because it's an algorithm. It's not a you problem. It's not a, oh my God, that hit my ego.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to post for another like 3 months when you do care to share your life a little bit. Like, because a lot of us do. We'd like to put out a photo of, this is my birthday trip, or you go on a trip.
Yeah.
You want to take a photo because it's like, it's exciting to share life.
Yeah. And it can just become disheartening when you're not getting that validation, especially when you start like, I've seen that trend on
which one?
Where people are like, the likes I got when I was like in high school versus now. And it's like, yes, that's an algorithm.
No,
that's an algorithm actively working against you, because the algorithm favors people who are posting every single day. The algorithm favors people who are posting the same type of content every single day. Most people who are just like casually using Instagram aren't doing that. So,
and
like,
sometimes I fall into that, and then it revamps up, and then I fall off, and it dies down, revamps up, fall down. So I wanted people to hear that for what it is, because that's the freaking truth of it. It's like, it's an algorithm. So what I mean by that is like, don't take it so personally when you're not getting likes on something or when something flops, because chances are you probably haven't tried it 100 times.
Yeah.
The algorithm has no idea. Mm-hmm. Think of this. I see a TikTok. It's going viral. I click on the person's page. It's about their like lifestyle. Let's just say their relationship like therapist. I go to their page. There is 1,000 videos of them talking about themselves being a relationship therapist. They have been grinding and grinding and grinding and grinding. They hit the right audience. I now want to follow them because I'm like, holy F, look at all this content they have.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
And they've trained the algorithm. Okay. They've trained the algorithm to know who to share their content with.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm going to be honest, I forgot where I was going with that.
That's okay. But what I want to also say with that is, we don't, if you're a regular person, like, and you're not looking for like personal or social media personal growth, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. You just can't be so distraught when you're posting online and you're not seeing, air quotes, what results you wanted to see. And like we do. And I want to talk about that. It's like you see people after college, you talked about this, with good jobs, going on trips, having that literally their dream job out of college, out of nowhere. What?
Yeah.
Like buying like Louis Vuittons, like literally at 22. What? Huh? Like, how does that work? Having these sick ass birthday parties and these friends, and they've, you know, you know the pics. They've got these like cameras. I don't even know what camera they're using. And they're like, ah.
Yeah.
And they look so good. And you're like, what the fuck?
Their life
is a limo in Vegas. Yeah. I can't even afford rent right now.
Yeah. No, their life is amazing. They've gone on 17 trips. They're hanging out with Beyonce. Like it's super, I think, debilitating. And I really, really struggled with this really bad right after college, because I graduated college with a poli sci degree. Okay, what are you going to do with that? I didn't get a job right out of college. I think I had to work for a few, 4 months before I, which is extremely normal. Like so many people endure that. But
online perception.
But online perception. And when you're in it, you're like, holy shit, everyone is living their life and how their jobs lined up after college. And that's like a whole other thing. But like the social media really amplifies it, because like what we were talking about earlier mm-hmm. is like, at no point in the history of mankind have you had to experience the lives of every single person that you have ever met in your life and know everything that's going on in their life at any given moment through social media. At no point have human beings been exposed to like that much information.
And always the highlight reel, mm-hmm. which I know social media is trying to be better about. I know. But it's still, I'm not going to show you when I'm literally grungy as fuck. Like, I don't want to. Like, I don't feel good about myself. Why would I want to put that out there for everybody and pretend like I'm feeling good when I'm not? So I fight that of like, well, I don't feel good, so why would I share? But it's so true. We've never lived in this time where that's been real.
Yeah.
And it feels at times, I remember after college, very unfair. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, why do they have everything going on and I don't have anything going on? I'm living in my mom's basement.
I have a job.
No, literally, like in my mom's basement, just lost my internship because they like lost a client. Like, so I essentially didn't get fired, but like they have to let you go.
Yeah, because that's business.
It's business. It's gone.
That's business, baby.
That's business. That's what are the, that's Hollywood, or what do they say?
Show business.
God.
Show business.
Don't try to land a one-liner when you're an idiot. Hey. Oh, anyway. But you talked about just like how that hit your ego and like.
Yeah. United States especially, your ego is really tied to what you do and what you're doing, right? Like if I'm shaking my ass on a yacht, people know I'm about that life. When I'm holed up in my parents' basement crying every night because I hate my freaking life, that isn't very cool. And I'm also not sharing any of that.
Yeah.
But for me, I got to a point with it where it was making me so upset and so distraught. I mean, like truly, like I was like crying over it, because I was just like, I hate my life and this is making me hate my life more.
Yep.
That I was like, I need to recognize that this is really unhealthy for me right now. I deleted the app, not like my profile, but I deleted the app for 3 months. That's the longest I've ever like not had social media. And I like really examined what I was experiencing and like really like peeled the layers back. And what I realized, it was like, I'm dissatisfied with my own life, obviously. And so like, I'm projecting that, because when I see that people are living these extravagant, beautiful lives, which also, mind you, who knows how they're doing all that? That's like, it's not always like, oh, they got the money like that. A lot of people don't. And kudos to you if you do. Yeah. But like, you truly, like, do you know how many, like, and I will stand on business when I say this, the social media, like little clips that are like, guys, just buy the trip, buy the plane ticket. And I'm like, if you don't have money for that, do not put that on a credit card.
No, God, no.
Do not put like credit card debt. You had an episode about this.
Just talked about it.
Check out finance episode.
Shout out Ryan.
Consumer debt is the most debilitating debt, and that will keep you from any sort of financial freedom. And there are so many people who go on social media and say, just buy the flight. Just self-indulge. Yes, treat yourself, like take care of yourself. Do not put yourself in a worse position for that like instant gratification. And that's just like a whole other facet of social media, I know, that bothers me. But
mm-hmm. Lord, that gives me a headache. Mm-hmm. But seriously, self-examining your relationship with social media, which is what you did. You took 3 months off. You sat in your life. You're like, what am I so unhappy about? What can I like change? But I think everybody, like, you don't have to be extreme and unplug, right? We talk about the unplug, like everybody says, like social media is bad. Well, I hate to say it, it's not going anywhere. Is it good? No. Is it great? No, probably not. But is it bad? No. I mean, it's somewhere in the middle. It's got positives, it's got negatives, and it's here to stay.
And
And
you just have to find the balance that makes sense for you, because like some people use social media casually. They're only checking in, you know, every other day, a few times a week. And they are probably less impacted by like the negative aspects of social media. But some people like have to do this for their job, myself, or have to do this to keep their business afloat, because that's what's propelling their business.
Hi, that's me.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are indulging in they're subconsciously like, okay, I'm just on here quick. I'm just going to post like, about my birthday. I had so much fun. I had a birthday dinner. oh my God, I had no idea that girl had been on a private jet, or like, I had no idea, like, she has her dream job. Like, and then it still hits your, it still hits, like, it still sucks.
Yeah.
But I also think part of just what you see online is like, you've got to mature out of it. You've got to mature out of the ego. You've got to mature out of the self comparison game that a lot of us have lived in. I think I'm honestly in a really freaking good spot right now, but now my spot is, how do I create that content, which we're not going to go into, but it's like, how can I do that? I want to do that. And I have this idea and this idea and this idea. And I want to be like that person.
I want to be on the yacht.
No, literally. But here's two parts of it. You have no clue what's going on behind the scenes.
No.
No idea. A good example of this, I love her. I talk about her all the time. You're like, you literally love this girl. I'm like, yep, I literally do. I'd kiss her. Okay. Whitney Simmons, she talks about, which I love her because she has psoriasis and I have psoriasis and she's a fitness girly and she's just badass. She tried to commit suicide. Like, it's like that dark. It's like a dark, horrible thing. And she's got millions of followers and creates content and is laughing and happy.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it, is it's not always that fulfilling and it's not all that. And, you know, they can show you. Yeah. I mean,
I will say the life of those like mega influencers that you see, all of that is like manufactured reality. Mm-hmm. Like, they are going to the beach, posing, looking sexy, looking hot. And like, I'm not like shitting on that, whatever, like do what you want to do. But like, they're doing all that for the content.
It's curated.
Yeah. They're not like, oh, I'm at the beach having fun. I want to document this and share it with my followers. Like, they are going to the beach to create content.
Well, then we talked about this and I said this to you before we started, is like, I was thinking about my wedding and what I want to have there for people to do. And everyone's like, well, have you gotten a photographer yet? And I'm like, well, no. And then I'm looking at all these photos. They're curated moments. They're not the real moment. Not all the time, but most of the time, it's the moment that people are getting the photos of is actually the moment that they created for the photo versus the actual situation
like
at the wedding.
Like the first look, like that kind of stuff?
No, more so like, like they're taking photos, like cutting the cake, and they're like, ah, when it's like, okay, you'd literally just be focused and be like in the moment. Your face might be a little bit funny in some of the pictures. And like, you know, there are some like amazing candid moments where it's like smiley and
like genuine, you know, a genuine moment that's captured, not a moment that's created to be captured.
Well, if you've, okay, for instance, you've seen them or you've been in them. Bridesmaids photos with the bride when they're like, put your arms up and everyone smile. Woo! Yeah. And you've got the, put your bouquet in the air, your hand down, your hand up, you step forward, you step back, smiling. Everyone look at the bride, everyone look at, like, it's all curated.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's weird to think about. And I think you can think about a lot of things. Like, there's a lot of curated photos that are really beautiful of like people coming out of like the car.
Yeah.
That are like beautiful in the same sense, but it's like, I just want to be in that day, focus on the feelings and the amazing things we're doing with amazing people. Not like, did we get the shot? Yeah. Did we get the shot?
Did I have like the right angle? Like, was I mewing enough?
Yeah, literally. Wait, can I look at that? Was I mewing?
Yeah, wait, run it back.
Like, wait, I don't think I mewed.
Wait, I think I need to come back down the aisle. I wasn't mewing.
Wait,
enough.
I'm going to turn around real quick. Everyone reenact, rewind. No, but like that's.
Well, I think it does demonstrate something that we are rapidly heading towards, where your digital persona, your digital life, your digital, like all of these things that you've manufactured for your online persona, you care more about that than your real life. You care more about that moment than you care about the actual in real life experience.
That's horrifying.
It's like Black Mirror. I do think we are heading towards that rapidly.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
But it's like, you can pull yourself out and you can ground yourself. I'm like trying to make a positive out of a negative. I'm sorry. But what I'm really getting at is like this.
we'll throw you a lifesaver here.
How can you improve your relationship with social media? Yeah. Because I will say you have to first reflect on what social media looks like for you in your day-to-day life. Yeah. Like, are you a first thing in the morning, scroll, right when your eyes open, shot, eyes open, anxiety, heartbeat starts palpitating, yeah. scrolling on TikTok, finding like probably you just ordered some shoes off TikTok. Sorry, I did. And guess what? All of a sudden my credit card won't work. Oh, wow. Crazy how that works. You're at work, you're using it to pass the time because you're stressed, you're yeah. reaching for it for like safety because you don't want to maybe reflect on what you're actually feeling. Mick is pointing at herself.
I love a scroll to avoid having any critical thought.
Yep. And that'll happen. Like, here's the thing is, when you're spending time with yourself, are you actually spending time alone or are you spending time with your phone?
Phone. That's my best friend.
Remember when we came back and we needed alone time? We needed phone time. Different. There's a difference. I need
isolated phone time at least 6 hours a day.
No.
And that's my non-negotiable.
Sorry about that. That's part of what I put on my like dating profile.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, it's evaluating what does it look like for you and where can you be better? Like for me, I know you have a rule in the morning mm-hmm. and I'm about to start that rule because I can't stand it. I also need to put the rule on the back end of the day. Like
no
phone in the first thing in the morning, no phone last thing at night.
Yeah. I need to be better at night. I'm really bad at night, but in the morning I have found that it is so devastating for like my ability to focus on things after I go on my phone. If I go on my phone, the next 8 hours is me like constantly being drawn back to my phone mm-hmm. where I want to start scrolling. And then, and especially with my job, because my job is social media, that like I already do spend mm-hmm. like quite a bit of time. Like a lot of my job is looking for audios for Reels. I will waste, I'm not kidding you, an hour because I'm looking for an audio, but now I'm absorbed into whatever's happening on my phone. And now I'm scrolling for an hour.
Happy
and I'm
like, wait, time.
I was doing something.
Dopamine hits.
Yeah, dopamine hits because yeah, it's and it's made to be addicting. It's made to keep you on there for as long as possible. And when you have those immediate dopamine hits, the moment your eyes open, you're pretty much setting yourself up for failure. And I have like noticed dramatic changes from just one simple thing. The first thing I do is not going on my phone. It's not checking emails. I don't check emails, but it's not TikTok. It's not Instagram. I also don't go on Twitter anymore either, but.
Sad. She died. Rip.
X.
X. Sorry. Oh, geez.
My bad. Whoa. I didn't mean
okay.
to.
Let's get a little bit with the current times, if you will. The other part of the figuring out your relationship with social media is, are you obsessing mm-hmm. over the people that watch your story, the people that send you stuff, the people that are in the background of stories or what someone is doing, or because you're obsessing maybe over a person like a guy or an ex-friend or, you know, I mean, whatever it is.
Yeah. I would say starting to identify the behaviors that like it might seem normal and like a lot of these things we have really normalized, but like really aren't normal and are really signify that you have an unhealthy relationship with social media. Like if you are every single story that you are posting, who's checking it? And like, I think most people know, but like your story views are ranked by like, I don't know. It's an unknown algorithm.
I don't really understand
but like there's some ranking to it where the people who are higher at the top are more interested in what you're doing. So you can kind of get a sense of people who are a little bit more tuned into your life, and that communicates something mm-hmm. and that creates an importance and it becomes addicting. And I know because I have been there where mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, so addicted to seeing if someone has looked at my story because, and then it becomes like I'm posting the story just to have them look at it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's insane. Like when you take a step out of that and you're like, oh, I literally like manufactured an entire moment. I mean, like I know girls, I don't think I've ever done this and I'm not shaming anyone who has done it, but like throw on a whole fit, take a nice little cute mirror pic just to post that, just to get the likes, just to get the validation, just to get that one person to notice them, if he's going to swipe up. And that's like
that's
a little
bad.
Not good.
That's I'm sorry. It's good. It's bad. Or you're like, I'm going to go out on Saturday and I'm going to post a pic at the bar having so much fun mm-hmm. and I'm going to go home and then I'm on my phone to, just to see if he saw it. Or like, I'm going to watch his story incessantly over the next 48 hours because it's the weekend and I miss him and I'm going to see what he's doing. Oh my God, who is he with? Who is he tagging? Where are they? Like, who's in the background of that? That is not a good relationship with social media, but also self. So I have to
say
that.
The fake and the fake profiles that people make to creep on people, that's not normal. Yikes. Either. And like, I'm really like,
I'm not trying to shame people for this
because I have been guilty of this too. And there's like a natural human curiosity to like creep on an ex and like wonder what they're up to and what they're doing. But like you do have to recognize that there is a point when that becomes really unhealthy for your own personal growth, development, and it's holding you back because you're so obsessed with what other people are doing.
Yeah. And let me tell you right now, like literally if you're not driving, look at your phone right now. Like just look at it. It's a box. It's a fucking square. It's not that important. It's a rectangle. I'm sorry. It's not a square. A square can be a rectangle, but a rectangle can't be a square. La, la, la. I remember that from geometry. Anyway, if this went away, like what would you have in your current life that gives you value, that brings you joy, that draws in your attention, that makes you happy, that fills your cup? Like that's what you need to ask yourself and reflect on. Like
and care about.
And care about. Yeah. And like
and invest in.
And sadly, some of us out there need to retrain our brains on what we truly care about and what's important to us and what fills our cup. Because like I promised one day, this is what I promised myself. I was like, because I was getting very obsessive with social media a long time ago. And I was like, if social media disappeared, would I be okay? And at the time, I probably could say no.
I would not have a job.
Yeah. You would not have a job. That's a little different. It's a little different.
But no, I know what you mean.
But like, just for the people who are maybe, you know, not in social media or whatever, and just have a profile or whatever.
What would you have? And are you happy with the life that you have that isn't created on social media?
Yeah.
I think that's a really good way to look at it.
Can you spend time alone? No. Can you spend time with your thoughts? No. Can you? No. But can you learn to meditate? Do you have a hobby?
Yeah.
Like, that's like a legit question. Like,
do you have hobbies?
No, like in all seriousness and kindness, like, do you have something that you've been wanting to start, but you choose your phone instead? Like that, it's all like questions that you should be asking yourself, you know? And I know we're talking a lot about the negatives and we'll get into, sorry about that.
There's a lot.
There's a lot to it. And we'll get into how do you get yourself out of that? And like, what are habits that we've done and things that have honestly regrounding. This is all a conversation about regrounding yourself in real life.
Yeah.
Because feet on the ground is not the same as eyeballs in your phone.
Yeah.
Like they're two different
things. Well, and finding the balance that works for you and works for whatever that you need social media to serve, finding a balance that is healthy.
Yeah.
Because I truly think that so many people have really unhealthy relationships with social media, but they don't identify that because it has become so normalized. And not only is it really normalized, it's really easy for these behaviors to happen under the surface because I mean, like what we're talking about right now, like the whole like secret profile, like, or the incessantly looking at your story views. Like, I don't think those are very common conversations that you're like having with your friends or where you're like, I posted this story solely for this one singular person to see it. And my entire night is now wrapped up in making sure that they see it. And I'm checking and checking. And like, that's compulsive and that's unhealthy.
It is unhealthy. We're having the conversation so that you don't feel insane because the reason we're saying guilty. Them is because we were guilty of this at one point. If not, like I admitted that I literally am like watching people's content and being like, how can I be like those people? Because I have a community I need to serve. I need to be creating content. I need to be smarter. I mean, it's this constant, like, what do I think I need to be doing that makes me feel suffocated? That's what I feel, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard. And this want to be on trend, which I think is the world that we're in right now. That is a sad, sad world because it's hard. It's constant. Like, that wasn't good enough. Next. That wasn't good enough. Next. 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 You know, it's content fucking out your booty.
Yeah.
And it never stops.
Yeah. And the shitty thing is that for to be good at creating content, in my opinion, you have to consume content because that's how you learn what performs better. Oh, you see this like sort of framing, you see this like how they worded something, and then you can do that in your own content. And it's really hard to do that when you're not consuming it.
I know.
And that's something that I struggle with too, is like, I have to consume so much content because that's how I'm good at creating content. And that's how I pay the fucking bills. That's how I rationalize my phone time. I'm like, Guys, my phone time, like, I promise you, if I had to turn that notification off because I was like, it's scary.
No.
But I promise you, mine is horrific. And I promise you, mine blows any of yours out of the water because that's how.
It's your job.
It is. And I'm addicted. And I'll admit that I am addicted to TikTok. I'm addicted to I'm also addicted to creating content. Like,
you're,
I love doing
you
that.
You have a skill, though. I mean, you are, and you're leaning into a skill.
Because I consume a lot of content.
I know.
I've basically monetized my bad habit.
Okay, so kind of a positive, I guess.
Yeah.
But this conversation that we have about just unplug, have a social media cleanse, get offline, you know, whatever. I was talking to a friend the other day. I told you this too. Like, I was talking to him and he's like, oh my God, what have you been doing? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'm having the event, right? And he's like, no, I have no idea anything. I've been offline for a year. I haven't seen anything. And he was like, it has been really positive to be with my kids and be with my, you know, my life. But I won't lie, I am so out of the loop. I am out of the loop on trends. I'm out of the loop on what people are up to, communities, people in my life. I miss like engagements, weddings, funerals, like things I should not know about that crap.
Yeah.
Just being offline.
And he might as well just be living in a cave.
Yeah.
I think
I should have said that too.
Well, I think though that's a good point of like this whole like unplug, like you don't need social media, like you don't, and you can make that decision for yourself. But like to connect with people like me and you, like we make references to TikToks, we make references to like funny things going on, we make references to pop culture moments, and a lot of that requires you to be kind of tapped in. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of like, well, just unplug, just do this, and again, like make that decision for yourself and do what you need to do to like be healthy, but it's a little unrealistic because like that truly is a way that you connect with people and like humor. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I talked to this with like some of our friends about like dating ages and how if you date someone older, you don't really have the same humor as them.
Grandpa.
Because like I'm referencing literally 800,000, not only just like a billion TikToks, but like layered. Like these are internet jokes that have like 7 different layers. And unless you have been present for every single layer, you don't get it. And I sound like I should be locked up in an institution. But like I always say, I'm like, if you're like dating someone, like if I were to date someone who was even 35.
Yep.
I mean, like, and I'm dating Doc, who is 29.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even have the same humor because like, that's how much more online I am than him. And he's still pretty online.
And it gets more and more online the younger you go because they started earlier. Like, it's just the fact it's not going anywhere, you guys. And
that's the point.
The point is it's not leaving, and unplugging sometimes isn't the most realistic way to get what you need. And I'm saying do what you got to do. If you need to unplug to like feel mentally sane again, oh my God, absolutely do it. I'm just saying we carry this guilt because we're online, but sometimes like in order to just be connected in society and with our friends and with communities and events like that you really want to be at because you want to meet friends like today's event, you have to be online. So it's like we can't shame each other for like, well, you need to unplug. I'm unplugged and like literally my life is amazing. But it's like, well, yeah, but some people don't have the luxury of having a million friends.
Some people don't have the privilege of unplugging.
Yeah, well, it's like literally though, like some people don't have friends and they're not connected and they're maybe looking for a job because they don't like their job and they need to connect with new people and they need advice and they need like mom content because they don't have anyone to talk to
and human connection. Yeah. I mean, I will say like, cause a lot of people, especially us in this episode, are like harp on the negatives of social media. And that is like totally true, but like there are a lot of positives. A lot of people in obscure communities have found big communities of like-minded individuals through the ability to connect on social media. And like, you can't understate that or act like that's not nothing because it is important. And like, I don't want social media to go away. I want people to learn how to use it in a healthier way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Like,
so how do we do that?
How do we do that? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I learned how to cook based on social media. Mm-hmm. That's how I know how to cook. I'm not even joking. That's how I know the recipes to make. That's how I know.
And just access to so much information. Like, I have been exposed to so many different ideas, thoughts, different things of life through social media that I would have never been exposed to had social media not existed. And like, that is a positive thing. What are the
set
positives?
Boundaries with your social media time, what we've already talked about. I need to do this, and I'm guilty of it. But part of all of this is what? Holding yourself accountable to the things that you've set in front of you to make yourself better. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to not go on my phone the minute I wake up, and I need to get off of it doom scrolling. Cause guess what happens? I doom scroll. I don't get enough sleep. I don't REM when I go on my phone right before bed. I've literally done a study, self-study. Okay. And with my Aura ring, and I'm like, holy F. I have to hold up my finger every time. I'm like, my Aura ring. I like, okay, put your finger down. We don't need to know where it is. Okay. Like, I don't REM when I go on my phone before bed because my brain is so overstimulated. Yeah. And then by the time I get into sleep, it's like, well, oh, time to wake up already. Could have gone to bed at 9, but had to go to bed at 11:30 because I had to scroll for 2.5 hours. What the hell?
Yeah.
So set time boundaries and time limits and actually hold yourself accountable to those times.
I think that's important. And I also think it's important to start recognizing when you're developing those really compulsive social media behaviors that we identified earlier and recognize them and say, like, I don't like what this is turning me into. And like I said earlier, like, I have deleted the entire Instagram app off of my phone so that I like physically could not indulge in that compulsion. And it worked. I didn't have to delete my profile. I didn't have to do like super, super major. Like, I knew that I was going to come back, but I needed to take 3 months of like, hey, let me sit with my own thoughts. Let me have a critical thought. Let me maybe reflect on some things before I felt comfortable introducing Instagram, especially, back into my life, because it's scary what happens.
To the old noggin. You get a little bit down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, you get crazy.
But you need to recognize when you're having those bad habits. Yeah. I recognize when I'm like, I'm going to the bathroom at work and I'm sitting on my phone for 20 minutes, like on the toilet, just to like avoid the next task because I don't want to do it. And I'm in like, I'm uncomfortable. But you have to recognize that when you become uncomfortable and your brain resorts to grabbing your phone to be like, quick hit of dopamine. Okay, I'm still uncomfortable, but now I'm in my next meeting. Yeah. And now I've ruined my whole day because now I don't have time to do the thing that time was allotted for. And now I'm actually hurting my role in my job because of my relationship with social media. It's like, I don't know. I'm talking about this and I'm like, oh my, I've never heard anyone talk about this part.
Well,
and it's crazy. And I'm admitting to a lot of shit that I'm like, yeah, that's true.
I think that there are, it's extremely unhealthy, and a lot of people, and including myself, engage with it in a really unhealthy way. But people don't talk about it and people don't identify it as unhealthy because they're just like, it's social media. Like, we're all on it. We're all doing it. We're all scrolling. And it's kind of like, wait a minute. Like, if you take a step back and like look at, I mean, in public, you just see like people glued to their phones, included.
Yeah.
You know, the moment you feel like you have like a moment of silence, you're like,
well, gotta look at my phone then. Holy crap.
And even like the itch that you get, like it is an addiction. The itch you get when you are not on your phone, when you don't have your phone.
Trying to grab for it and it's not there.
Literally, I'm like.
But try like during workday, try to see if you can go from 9 a.m. to the time you have lunch without looking at your phone. And just look at your productivity in that window instead of what normally would happen. Just measure it one time for me, one time. Like,
yeah,
that's another way to like just set a boundary and see what the reaction is.
Yeah.
Or,
and your attention span, you'll notice that your attention span will get drastically bigger when you are not constantly feeding yourself dopamine hits with short form video content.
Yep. And it's not avoidable. So we're finding how we can have a better balance with it. Like, we're finding out how we can have a better relationship with it. So that's one thing. We didn't talk about this and I'm not going to go super deep into it, but like, the content you're consuming, just because it's online doesn't mean it's true. And I don't want to like, I'm not going to like dwell on this, but like, fact checking, number one, just check the internet somewhere else. Like, it comes out of somebody's mouth does not mean it's true. Likelihood is somebody is trying to sell you something. So they're telling you that you need X product in your life, or this X product is the best thing ever. And then you're sold on it. So you buy it, but they're probably trying to sell you something. But on the other side of that is like, these people with their content and the things, their life is amazing. Have a little realism with that. Have a little like, oh, could this be like a moment of something? And they are maybe like, maybe they're going through shit too. Like maybe they're not the happiest person on the planet just because they're on this trip.
Well, they probably are. And I would also recognize that a lot of people, especially people who are dependent on content creation as their like number one stream of income, they are creating content to make money.
Yeah.
Meaning you have to hit a lot of key markers to ensure that that content is being shared, it's being seen broadly. And that impacts what the motivation for that content is. And like the rage bait stuff, I mean, mm-hmm. like, and people fall for it every single mm-hmm. time, you know, the Andrew Tate, the people who are intentionally trying to instigate their audience because mm-hmm. they know they're either going to get someone, and it happens in political content too. They know that the audience is either going to agree strongly or disagree strongly, and they're going to engage in that. And that means that it's getting more views, it's getting more plays, and they're getting more money, especially on TikTok. Oh, yeah. You get paid for how many people view your content. So that's part of the motivation, and you have to like keep all of that in mind 100%. When you're consuming content. And one thing that I've done, and this is like dependent on like how, if you're like a content creator or if you have aspirations to be a content creator, is mm-hmm. like I always view it as like, okay, like I do consume, but like I try to focus on what I can create. Mm-hmm. And so it's like focusing on the creation rather than the consumption mm-hmm. has helped me really find a balance, because like I don't have the luxury. I don't have the luxury of not being on social media. Yeah. It is my job. It is my work. It also like it requires me to mm-hmm. be on social media, to be good at my job. So how do I reframe it in my own mind so that I'm not literally losing my mind every single day?
Because you're going on looking for what can I create? Yeah. Or how can I remake or how this? Can,
yeah.
It versus doom scroll. Yeah. Don't know what I'm looking for. Just on here because I need to. It is a reality like separator.
Yeah.
Social media is a reality separator. That's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah.
And that's even why when you're like consuming influencers content, take a step back. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I've met influencers. A lot of them are really actually very nice. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have, how do I say this? Like don't feel so happy in their lives. Like, yeah. I'm not going to say what they have. I would never like self-diagnose people, but I'm just saying they have a lot of up here issues in their brain and are very unhappy. A lot of them.
Understand that they are also portraying a like
character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like so many, I have met influencers who like, I see them online and I'm like, oh my gosh, like they are so cool. Like we're going to get along so well. And then I meet them in real life and they are just like nothing, like not interested.
Oh yeah, because you literally work with them.
Yeah, not interested, like not interested in talking to you, not like bubbly, not personable, not, and like it's like that's not the person that I saw on my TikTok feed. What's going on? And like, and to be fair, like to be online is to perform. Mm-hmm. So it's like I don't blame them and I'm not shitting on them for it, but it is jarring to experience when you're like, wow, you are drastically different than the online persona that you portray. But that's the reality, and that's a good reality to keep in mind when you're doing this, is that like these people aren't real, and how they're portraying themselves isn't necessarily always real. Like, I don't think that there's any way to like 100% portray yourself online that is like 100% authentic to who you are in real life. No. Like I have so many people who I'm sure like who have only ever seen me online who are like, wow, like she's like probably so like bubbly and so, and I'm like, and mm-hmm. I'm not like that.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. You meet me in real life and you're like, she has social anxiety. She can't talk to human beings.
She's struggling yeah. at the walk. No, you know, I'm just kidding.
First off, mention this walk one more time.
The walk that we had. No, I'm guys, just kidding.
We went on a walk, we and walked. If you weren't there, that
bummer.
Sucks. The walk. So Sid wait, just so anyway, came at me for being a little creepoid at the.
You weren't a creep. You were just.
No, I was kidding. Documenting. I was content creating for you Sid so that Sid can engage with her community and she yeah. doesn't have to worry about creating content, because that's
actually very difficult.
It's super difficult, and like I'm sure so many people who like if they're using social media for their business resonate with this. It's like I have a full-time job
yeah
and now I need to do the full-time job of content creation to market my literally. Job and it's like it's exhausting, it's overwhelming yep. it's like it's completely debilitating mm-hmm. and I feel like you've definitely suffered from that.
Oh my god, I mean if you don't already know this, I have a 9-to-5 and then I have a podcast and I also coach and I have to ideate for events, and I have to ideate for content. I have to ideate for episodes. I have to ideate for how I'm going to show up online on my personal brand, how I'm going to make money for the, you know, everything, my life, my wedding planning, my relationship, my personal life, my friends. It's sometimes when I think about it, I actually feel like I'm going to suffocate.
Yeah.
So it's tough, and I can only do so much. And that's why I had to call in Mick, and I was like, I need you to help me. Mm-hmm. So Mick literally she listens to majority of the episodes and selects what clips go on social media. And then she's actually the one posting it to TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, because I literally cannot.
Yeah. I will say that's another part that people really understate as well, is like the actual act of posting it, because I do it so much that it literally is just like, I can do it in my sleep.
Oh, hell
but
no.
Like
hell
the, no. To write a caption, to add the tags, to like all of that, it takes like a considerable amount of mental output that a lot of people with like social media stuff just like don't consider. And like that's another thing that like hot take, this really pisses me off when people try to act like social media is nothing and it doesn't matter and it's like not that big of a deal and influencers like they don't deserve their like all the money they get. And like there's arguments to be made for that for sure, but like
for sure,
you and I both know what it takes to like create an engaged audience, and it's not easy.
It's
days and days and days and years. I mean, literally years until you're able to actually monetize that. I mean, like I have been on TikTok since 2019. I'm only just now making money, and it's still not like money off of my videos.
Oh yeah.
And like when people are so mad about influencers who are like making, you know, 20 bands on some brand deal,
like the Mom Talk girls,
yeah, they're mad, and I get where that comes from, because all you're seeing is the 1 minute video they made. You're not seeing the years and years and years of videos every single day that they are creating, that they are putting in the mental work to create, editing, posting day after day after day to gain that following. That is what led to that brand deal. And so like I'm not
oversharing.
Yeah.
And also probably outing yourself quite a bit.
And ruining a lot of your in real life relationships, because that's another, oh my God, we're like literally going down a rabbit hole. That's another thing that
I don't
want to
go too deep, but.
Yeah. Okay.
But say it.
That when you are online, like you have an online persona and that persona is about sharing your life, you risk a lot of your in real life relationships, because a lot of those people, I mean, like I have had like legit situations where I have talked about someone online, they found out and they freaked out. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm like, haha, okay.
but like it's a real thing, and it's this sort of thing you have to balance with.
Yeah.
With doing, and
I mean, I struggle with it even on the podcast. Yeah. I mean, like people, I've talked about people and people have thought it was them, and I'm like, no, it's not you. Like I have to be careful, even though I hate being careful. And I'm like, sometimes people are like, we want to know more about your life. And I'm like, yeah, but I also am respecting the privacy of my friends' lives. Mm-hmm. Some of them are okay with me sharing like little tidbits, but I have to be careful because not everybody wants to be online. In fact, a lot of people don't.
No.
And that's okay. So that's why I am so careful with things that I say, even though I don't like to be careful like that.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm respecting the privacy of the people that I care about.
And
my
decision to overshare online shouldn't negatively impact the people in my life.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's hard.
It's very hard. But okay, we'll wrap up with just the other things that we think it's really important to find balance with social media. How do you do that? How do we keep doing that? Here is something. Curating the people you follow, curating your feed. Mm. I cannot understand when somebody shows me their phone, they're like, oh yeah, oh my God, this girl, oh, she hates me. And I'm like, but what? You just liked her photo and you follow her and you've liked all her photos or his photos or whatever. And you're watching
his
shit.
You're their biggest fan.
Wait, why? Yeah, you're their number one? Like, no, I'm kidding. But it's like, why are you following them if they make you feel so terrible? or even that influencer that is, there's going to be hotter people than you forever. Sorry, that's just how life
not
works.
Me.
No. She's okay, guys. No, I'm kidding. Personally, but it's like literally, personally, I'm actually the hottest. So no, but literally, like, you're always going to run into that.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not good for your mental health. Why are you following these people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and
why are you choosing to see them?
And I will say, my naiveness was always like, oh, you know, people are editing their photos a little bit. They're like whitening their teeth, maybe, and like they're smoothing out their faces. Oh, no, these people are literally altering their face, their body, their skin color, their eye color. You know, people, they edit the whites of their eyes to look whiter. Uh-huh. That's insane. And I was very naive, and I thought, like, who would go on the internet and lie? Like, no one would do that. And then there's that account Beauty False. You should show that account.
Okay,
that account helped me a lot with my own, like, just exposing myself to, like, people who were unbelievably beautiful, which I also say, like, you know, 300 years ago, you only knew, like, 200 people in your village.
Yep.
And I would have been the hottest bitch in that village. So, like, you cannot fault yourself. You cannot,
holy shit,
you cannot fault yourself for, like, the fact that we know, like, are so aware of, like, thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of them are more attractive, more conventionally attractive. And you have to, like, realize, again, Beauty False is the account that I just mentioned.
Okay.
It shows the, like, the real photo versus, like it'll find celebrity people, because mm-hmm. celebrities are really bad about this. The original photo and then what they posted, and it's night and day.
I know, and you know what?
Recognize them.
One person that I'm like, holy crap, I've seen a ton of those on. Tana.
Oh, Tana, yeah. Mojo, she was bad at it. I don't think she's as bad as it anymore.
No, and I really like her.
I really like her too.
I do.
They're in a bit of controversy right now.
Yeah, they are. But I mean, I generally speaking like her content.
But stuff, she's talked about that. She's like, and she makes fun of herself for it. And she's like, I was like very bad about Facetune, like who let me do this, which I love about that about her. She's like very open.
She's real. But the Kardashians, even like some of the most beautiful people on the mm-hmm. planet, right? Editing the crap mm-hmm. out of their photos. Why would they be doing that? If they know, or, you know, like in our heads, they know that they're the most beautiful people. They have everything. Why would they do that? No, they don't. They're comparing as well.
Yeah. It's a vicious cycle. It doesn't matter who you are. And like you could be the objectively like most beautiful person on this earth.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel less than based on what you expose yourself to online. And it's like.
Be real with your feed.
Oh,
be real with who you follow.
Mm-hmm.
Be real with yourself on like who's not serving you as somebody you should be following. Like if seeing your ex-boyfriend with his new fiance is going to hurt you, it's time to let that mm-hmm. go. Because I guarantee when you stop thinking about it, stop seeing it, stop having it like, holy shit, pop up on your feet on a Wednesday morning at work and your like stomach drops.
Mm-hmm.
Remove yourself from that scenario and that opportunity from happening.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. I am like a huge champion of that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
For sure.
And like, again, I go back to like 100 years ago or even our parents. I'm like, you would date someone, you would break up and you would never see that motherfucker again. Mm-hmm. And that is how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But now we can keep tabs on them. We can make fake accounts. We can do all of this stuff to like, we know everything about their life. And it's like, and it's hurtful.
Yep.
And it's like, we're literally like, we're doing this to ourselves. No mm-hmm. one is forcing us to do this.
Nope, this is self-chose.
Yeah.
Practice the mindful usage of like, why are you going on? Why am I going online? What am I getting out of this? Am I avoiding something? Am I doom scrolling? Am I just looking to get away from my thoughts, my own like reality, facing your real life and kind of thinking about why are you using the app is a huge thing too, right? And taking breaks, whether that be a day or a weekend or literally just a few mm-hmm. hours where you try to stay off your phone.
Yeah.
I'm using the word unplug, but like it doesn't, I'm just saying like when people are like, oh, I was just like, I unplugged for a month.
Yeah.
And like you don't have to feel bad about about being online during that time. Like it doesn't make you less than or like not as great of a person because you were online while they were unplugged, right? Mm-hmm. So just like choose your length of time to be separated from it and just see how often you feel the urge to grab for it or feel the urge to go on social media because it's bad.
And almost like I would say like a step before that is like being aware of that itch that you have and of that like desire to open TikTok, open Instagram, go through the reels because you don't want to think or you don't want to put your energy towards like something that's like actually meaningful. Mm-hmm. Like the first step is realizing it. And when you realize how bad, that, how often you're doing it, then it, then you start to realize, it's much easier to realize that that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think like that would be probably step one.
Then it's relationship with self. Like, why mm-hmm. am I feeling that way? Why am I running away from something? Mm-hmm. And then it's like pen to paper. Like, how do I improve what I'm feeling? But a lot of that means more time with you, mm-hmm. more time with your thought, meditation, more time outside, vitamin D, mm-hmm. feet in the ground, like actually listening to your own thoughts, walks without headphones in, and yeah. just like maybe bring your phone maybe for safety, right? But like walking and just like listening to nature and being observant.
I love raw dogging a walk. Oh, I do it all the time.
It's refreshing.
I know. I'm just like the birds chirping, the wind's blowing.
I actually don't like having my headphones in on a walk. So I don't yeah. ever go on a walk with my headphones in. It's also, I am always like,
yeah,
behind me. Wait, yeah. what?
Who's following
like,
me?
Who's behind me? What's going on? Like, I'm always yeah. worried about that shit.
But I do think that there's something to be said about like, I think we've like created a culture where every second of your free time has to be filled with something. Watching a YouTube video when you get ready, you're watching vlogs, you're doing this, you're on TikTok, you're scrolling, you're like, it's something has to be like entertaining you.
Oh yeah.
And like, there is something to be said about being content on your own with nothing.
Yep.
Haven't mastered it myself, but there's something to be said about it.
I haven't mastered it either, but I'm getting there. I think I'm better. I go in flows, but one thing's for sure is when I'm in my deep, dark pit of social media where it's like everything I gravitate for, I do it when the minute I wake up, I do it while I go to sleep, I do it at work obsessively. You know, I'm always in that period of time overspending. Mm-hmm. I'm always mm-hmm. over consuming content, kind of making myself not feel super, super great. And I get the worst sleep and I feel the worst about myself. And then I'm like, oh shit, I've done yeah. it again. Okay, gotta change tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then I do. And then I sometimes fall back into it. Yeah, so it's
a vicious cycle.
I'm creating this. I mean, I'm in a cycle, but I am getting like the steps forward of like, okay, how do I actually like have a yeah. positive relationship with that?
Yeah.
For one thing, if you're a content person and you need to create content, you have to have a schedule. Mm-hmm. Literally, you have to. Like, yeah. I literally can't live without it, because otherwise I doom scroll because I'm upset that I didn't create anything and I get obsessive, and you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Mick knows because she works with me, but yeah. that's how it goes.
Yeah. It's about
this girl.
A workflow of like building that. But I will say I am the less that I am posting means that I'm very, very happy. Mm-hmm. The more that I am posting means that I am severely unwell.
Mm-hmm. And sad.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about that. I also think like when people people posting a lot, like someone has a breakup, suddenly they got 18 stories. Are they probably in the best headspace? Are they probably living like their best favorite life? Probably not.
May look like it though.
But there's something to be said about that. Mm-hmm. They are like down so bad and they're projecting this like image of, oh my gosh, I love my life, it's so fun, I'm partying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. No, you are going through a breakup and
that can't feel good.
Are spiraling
and that can't feel good.
Yeah.
So just having that like swallow of realism of like, wait, what's the underlying thing here that I'm trying to actually understand? Like, yeah. are they living their best life? Maybe not. Or maybe they are and you just should feel happy for them. But I'm just saying like, the comparison game will never let you win.
Yeah.
It will never let you win. It's never going to feel good when you feel like you're in your financial rut and you're spending more time on social media and all you can see, because you're sad about finances and not being able to travel, all you see are that people are traveling and living their best life.
Yeah.
So you're going to seek in your brain, because your brain is sometimes not very nice, the things that are hurting you, because mm-hmm. that's when you feel this
yeah.
boost of, oh my gosh, it could be dopamine, it could be serotonin, it could be that that boo feeling of like, oh my God, that really made me sad. So
yeah, well, almost like if you're consuming content, you consume it with like the attitude of, I do not know this person and I do not know their life.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with me.
Yep. Exactly.
Next.
We just wanted to talk about this because social media is, it genuinely isn't going anywhere. It's, and we all are probably consumers. If you're listening, that's probably how you found this. Or maybe I know you and you just use social media, but yeah. it's like most of us are consumers.
Yeah.
And that's just the fact of the matter. And that is the reality of the world. But like, I hope that you maybe thought of something differently today about how you consume social media, and maybe are looking in the mirror at yourself right now and saying, I have some work to do. And I think it's going to make me feel a lot better if I change some of my habits up. doesn't mean you have to feel guilty for not being 100% offline, 100% unplugged, but at least you can build better habits so that your mental health can be much, much better and your relationship with social media can be better.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo was his name. Oh, boom, chakalaka. And now it's 7:15 and you got to roll.
I do. Oh,
yeah. Really, you got to go. Mick's going to a fashion show and underground like party, basically. Rave, apparently.
Warehouse rave, damn.
By the way, Minnesota's cool, you guys. We have warehouse raves. So stop hating on the States. Chill out. We're not living in igloos up here. Believe it or not, it was 85 degrees today. So, and it's basically October. I loves ya. Mick, can you tell them where they can find you? Because they're probably going to want to creep on your TikTok. Hey.
My TikTok is Mick.Wild, W-I-L-D. Mm-hmm. My Instagram, I think is in that.
It's probably the same. Do you have a Georgie Instagram that you want to share? TikTok?
Yeah, I have a TikTok for my dog and an Instagram. The Instagram's Georgie Wild Wiener. The TikTok is actually my first TikTok account that I transitioned into one for my dog.
For the wiener dog?
I think it's...
Look it up. Who cares?
Yeah.
Take your time.
It's,
I love the Georgie accounts and content.
Oh, wait. Okay. So my Georgie one is Mick.Wild. That's TikTok. And then my personal one on TikTok is wild_milk, which was my Instagram or my TikTok. Oh, my God. My Twitter username.
Oh, X, you mean. Yeah, wake up. Literally get with the times.
Okay? My bad.
As always, you can find me at wellsaid.podcast on Instagram, TikTok, Slang. At wellsaidsid is my real life account. I'm going to start trying to make content, right? Of get ready with me's, right? That is what I'm going to do.
Let's hold her to it.
I am saying it out loud to speak it into existence. What happened last time when I said I would vlog? Nothing happened. So I'm going to try here with the get ready with me's and then I'll move into that because I need to like figure it out. But I love you. Thank you for always listening. If you ever have ideas, you can always let me know, Instagram, wherever you want to hit me up. I have a get advice link in my bio. If you want to write something in and let us know and you want me to respond to it or get advice from an expert or just share your situation that you're feeling kind of alone in, I got you. I always see them. I'm the only person that sees them unless I share them. I will never share my identity. I just always want to remind people of that. So I loves ya. More fun events to come, more fun podcasts to come. But for now, toodaloo. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.